Father, we just secure him right now by the blood of Jesus. We thank you that no weapon formed against him will be able to prosper. And any tongue that rises against him will be condemned according to the word of God. And even as we lay hands on him right now, let your hand be laid upon him. Let him have a greater encounter with you, a greater encounter with the Spirit of God. That according to Ephesians 1:17 and 18, the eyes of his understanding would be enlightened, that he may know what is the hope of the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints. That any veil would be removed and his eyes would be open to see the glory and the goodness of God. All the days of his life, let him live well. I secure him. I secure his children. I secure his calling and his mantle in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
That's televangelist Paula White praying for and laying hands on Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump in the Trump Towers last fall. So just picture the gathering of Paula White and her entourage around Donald Trump in his office. That's what's going on there. One of Donald Trump's spiritual advisors, so to speak, just one of the subjects we're going to take up with Pastor Chris Roseborough this week in Pop American Christianity. We'll also talk about the big news of Perry Noble's removal or stepping down or stepping aside for a second at his mega church, which is New Spring. Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us for this week in Pop American Christianity. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Are Paula White and Donald Trump, in terms of candidate and pastoral advisor or spiritual advisor, a match made in heaven?
No. No, not at all. If you were to think, let's go back in history here to ancient Israel, where the prophets would anoint kings. If Paula White is the prophetess anointing Donald Trump and securing his so-called mantle, this is not a match made in heaven. Theologically, this is a disaster, and the theology behind this is actually from hell. It's not from heaven at all. This is really, really a mess, and I mean that in the truest sense. Theologically, it's absolutely abysmal what it is that we're dealing with here.
A couple of questions before we hear from Paula White, kind of get a picture of who this woman is. Evangelical leaders sometimes are like moths to the flame when you get someone like a presidential candidate. We watched it happen in New York a couple weeks ago with evangelical leaders that should know better and some that don't, obviously, gathering to lend their support, at least tacitly, to Donald Trump. What's going on in evangelicalism that they like that?
Well, see, this is a major mistake of evangelicalism, and that is that as a whole, and the movement doesn't properly understand law and gospel, which is a problem. And the other thing is it doesn't understand rightly how God has instituted the church and has also instituted governments. They are two different institutions, both instituted by God to do very different things. And as a result of their confusion of law and gospel and their lack of understanding regarding the two kingdoms, they oftentimes want the government to do the job of the church, and it ends up, oddly enough, going the other way, too. The church ends up trying to do the job of the government. It's a little bit weird, but here's what I mean by that, is that evangelicalism, this goes, back for a long time, and I was embroiled in this when I worked at Focus on the Family years ago when they were still in Pomona, California, and then you think of the times when evangelicalism was marked by Jerry Falwell and his religious right movements. The idea is that American evangelicalism rightly understands that you look out what's going on in the society, there's some wicked and evil stuff going on. And with the passing of Roe v. Wade, that is also a clear sign of evil and an injustice that has to be addressed. So how do we solve the problem? Well, it's real simple. The way you solve the problem is you elect the right people, they will enact the right laws, and then we become a Christian nation again. This is how they think. But this is 100% backwards, because what they're basically assuming is that our righteousness is based upon what we do. You are righteous because you do right things. You are a sinner because you do sinful things. What they don't understand is, biblically, the reason why we sin is because we are sinners, and our righteousness comes from God himself as a gift. In other words, people who are unbelievers are pagans, and they are steeped in sin, and they are not capable, and this is what we have to say, they're not capable of producing the fruit of the Spirit. So looking for a legal solution, a governmental solution for society's ills, is the wrong way of going about it. Yes, it's true that in a democracy we must elect responsible leaders, but in order for that to continue on in perpetua, we have to go and proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins, and it's through the preaching of the gospel then that God is going to literally raise people from the dead and give them a new heart and give them the Holy Spirit so that they will bear fruit in keeping with repentance and bear the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. And as Christians as a whole are able to grow as a major percentage of a society, then you will see things begin to turn around, not only on the societal level, but also in the decisions that are made in the government. So what happens is that evangelicals, they over and again get all of this backwards and basically try to enforce the fruit of the Spirit through legislation, which is not how that goes about.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about Donald Trump's spiritual advisor, Paula White. We'll hear from her, find out a little bit more about who she is after this. Then we'll talk about megachurch pastor Perry Noble's removal from his congregation, New Spring.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the clcc.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a Confessional Lutheran. The clcc.org.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest on this Friday afternoon. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Talk about Donald Trump's spiritual advisor, Paula White. Who is she, Chris?
All right. Paula White is a protege of T.D. Jakes from the Potter's House in Dallas, Texas. T.D. Jakes is a famous charismatic, and I don't mean charismatic in the sense that he has a commanding stage presence. I mean charismatic in the sense that he is a Pentecostal who speaks in tongues, and he's a TBN televangelist, and he's the one who kind of launched Paula White onto the national stage when it comes to the TBN types. She's currently pastoring, and you have to put the word pastor in air quotes, New Destiny Christian Church in Florida. And this is a woman who literally, if she's in the room, you want to make sure your wallet is secured. You don't want to have your wallet anywhere around her or your credit card information, because this woman is all about basically fleecing the flock and making a dollar for herself.
I want you to get up and call the toll-free number right now. And when you do, according to Deuteronomy 16, 16, and 17, you're saying, I'm not standing before God empty-handed, but I'm required to stand before the Lord and present to Him an offering according to my ability. Now, your ability might be, I don't know, 20,000, 10,000, 1,000, 150. I don't know what that is. But you do, and God does. And you have to say, how much value does the blood have for me? And by giving God honor and by sowing on this time, you are setting yourself up for special blessing and divine opportunity, according to the book of Joel, to release increase, the presence of God, angels, special revelation, special healing, supernatural power. You're opening up the blessing, financial harvest. You're positioning yourself. And there's eight things I'll teach you on that God will release to you because of your obedience. So when you stand before the Lord and you pick up that phone right now and don't miss this moment, you say, why had so many things not come together in my life? Perhaps we perish because of lack of knowledge. It's not doing something wrong. It's not doing enough of what's right. So when you get up and call the toll-free number right now, and you do not miss this moment, and you sow a seed, you are literally sending a signal into the realm of the spirit that is activating the blood. See, there's things happening right now that either doors are being shut or doors are being opened. There's release to you spiritually, or there's closure to you. You're activating and you're moving in a realm of abundance, or you're living and moving in a realm of scarcity. Your choice, because God says, I set before you blessing and cursing, life and death. Choose life that you and your seed may live. He then tells you what to choose. But he so clearly says, on this day, there's a few things that are required, and you don't want to miss them. Don't stand before me without your hands filled with purpose, empty-handed. You stand and you give God an offering. Call the toll-free number right now.
All right, Chris, after hearing that, I can understand why she's successful, because she's not afraid of asking for money, and probably why Donald Trump chose her as a spiritual advisor.
Yeah, it's as if they have the same idol. Yeah, that's kind of the problem. And, you know, what you heard from her, I mean, literally, she was basically saying that, you know, poverty or wealth, it's a decision you get to make, and the decision, you know, how you cast your vote for wanting to be prosperous is to send her, literally send her, a huge amount of money. And the first number out of her mouth was $20,000. Yeah, so apparently God wants to bless you. God wants to make you prosperous, and all you need to do is write a really large check to Paula White and send it to her and activate Jesus' blood atonement offering so that you can become wealthy. I mean, the woman is an absolute charlatan, is the best way I can put it. She is not a Christian. She is a heretic. She is a false prophetess, and she's an extremely dangerous woman. And the fact that she is a spiritual advisor to a presidential candidate should not only cause people to cringe, it should cause people to think that there's something seriously wrong with the candidate who would have her as a spiritual advisor.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. When we come back, we'll turn on to the subject of, this is really the big story in Pop American Christianity this week, and that is the removal of Perry Noble, who is a well-known name in the seeker-driven movement, megachurch pastor. Is he still the pastor? It's hard to tell, even though he's been removed. We'll find out why and what it means for the future of that church and for Perry Noble's career when we come back with Pastor Chris Roseborough.
Talk Radio for Recovering Evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our weekly series, This Week in Pop American Christianity. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. A little bit later, just around the half-hour point, we're going to be playing Issues Etc. soundbite of the week to round off this week's live broadcast of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon. It's a little game we like to play with our listeners where we play four soundbites, you listen, and then after you've heard them, you give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email with your vote, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Your vote will decide which of the four soundbites will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Chris, let's turn to the subject of Perry Noble. First of all, just give us a brief bio of Perry Noble. He's a big deal, right?
Yeah, Perry Noble is a huge deal. Perry Noble, 16 years ago, planted a seeker-driven, purpose-driven church in Anderson, South Carolina. They started off at Anderson University at the college campus there, and the name of it is New Spring. And Perry Noble is one of these guys that very early on garnered a lot of attention and a lot of success because he took the church growth methodologies taught by Rick Warren and others, and was extremely successful at seeing his church grow rather rapidly. And as a result of it, he got a seat at the table very early on, and you can say he's like one of the major movers and shakers in the seeker-driven movement, and has, you know, for years had a leadership conference where pastors and church planters from around the country and the world have come to sit under him and learn his church growth methods and methodology. So he's big.
So what happened to him?
Well, rather abruptly, the news came out at the end of last week that there was trouble brewing, and that he had been, last Thursday, that he had been fired. And it was confirmed on Sunday during the service there, the first service on Sunday, that Perry Noble had been removed. And in fact, they started the service off with an announcement from one of the men on the leadership team at New Spring, Shane Duffy, and he will go ahead and explain to us about Perry's removal and the reasons for it.
So first, let me read this statement or this letter on behalf of our church. It says this: through much prayer and with a heavy heart, we have important information to share with you regarding our pastor, Perry Noble. As of Friday, July 1st, and in accordance with the governing bylaws, the board of directors and the pastoral advisory team have removed Perry as a senior pastor of New Spring Church. While this is the most difficult and painful decision we've had to make, unfortunately, it was necessary. Perry's made some unfortunate choices and decisions that have caused us much concern. Over the course of several months, our executive pastors met with and discussed at length with Perry these concerns regarding his personal behavior and spiritual walk. Perry's posture toward his marriage, increased reliance on alcohol, and other behaviors were of continual concern. Due to this, the executive pastors confronted Perry and went through the steps of dealing with sin in the church as outlined in Matthew 18. Because Perry chose not to properly address these ongoing issues and didn't take the necessary steps toward correcting them, he is no longer qualified, as outlined in 1 Timothy 3 and the church's bylaws, to continue as pastor of New Spring Church. We will continue to love Perry and his family during this difficult time, and we are committed to continue to pray for his healing, and we're also committed to providing personal support to Perry and his family in the days ahead.
Okay, so we're hearing there from Shane Duffy. He's making a statement to the church on behalf of the congregation, isn't he?
Actually, I would say on behalf of the congregation as represented by the leadership team.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, that's, you know, the people who actually made the decision to execute on disciplining Perry.
So what in a nutshell did he tell the congregation there?
Basically, he told the people there that they went through the process. There was behavior that became evident to the leadership team that Perry Noble was abusing alcohol in an alcoholic drunkenness type of fashion, and that his posture towards his marriage, that's a little bit vague, but obviously we can just say they had some kind of marital issues, that they confronted him regarding these things, and rather than repent and turn things around, Perry persisted and the problem never went away. As a result of it, they felt compelled that they had to take action, and their action, you know, it, as outlined in, you know, Matthew 18, is that because he didn't repent and turn and actually correct his sin, that he had to be removed from being the pastor or the vision casting leader of New Spring.
I mean, just for clarity here, what they did was a good thing. They confronted their pastor in his sin, and the sad part about it is that Perry Noble decided not to respond properly and in a Christian manner to their rebuke and to their correction.
That's correct, and I think we need to make this clear. Scripture is very clear on this, that drunkenness is one of the sins that disqualifies a man from holding the pastoral office. So on the one hand, I commend the leadership of New Spring for, you know, seeing that Perry Noble did not meet the moral character qualifications to continue to be their pastor. And the decision they made is absolutely correct and biblical. Here's the problem, though. And the problem is that, and this is one of the problems that evangelicalism has kind of as a overriding problem, is they do not apply the full qualifications of a pastor to their leaders. Let me explain. Not only are there moral qualifications, you know, husband of one wife, not prone to drunkenness and fits of anger and things like this, but there are also very clear qualifications, and these are, you have to argue, are as important, if not more important, that a pastor is one who has studied and shown himself approved, who is able to rightly handle the word of truth, who is able to teach what's in accord with sound doctrine, and to rebuke those who contradict it. And unfortunately, over the years, I've been a careful student of Perry Noble's for a long time now. Perry Noble, in my assessment, and based upon many of the sermons I've reviewed of his over the years at Fighting for the Faith, is a man who is a habitual twister of Scripture, who clearly does not understand proper hermeneutics, exegesis, does not understand what sound doctrine is, and as a result of it, he has never actually been qualified to be a pastor, and many of the the gaffes that he's made over the years, and there have been some very substantial theological and doctrinal gaffes that he's made, have demonstrated that he should have never been allowed to be a pastor. And once they realized he was not qualified to actually teach them the Bible, they should have removed him years ago. I'll give you just two examples, and that is back in 2009 at the New Spring Leadership Conference. Perry Noble literally went on a tirade and explained to a bunch of pastors that and he used a kind of a derogatory term. I'll change it up. He called people like this, he called them the jackballs of the church. That wasn't exactly the phrase, but it's in the neighborhood. He says, the jackball in the church is the one who always says, I want to go deeper, deeper in the Scripture, have more Bible study, actually be taught the Word of God during the sermon. And he berated this caricature, this person who wants to go deeper and understand God's Word, because the seeker-driven model basically strip-mines the Bible looking for biblical principles in order to create relevant, life-changing sermons. That's what they do. So this critic who says, I want to go deeper, he basically says, well, let's find out how deep you are. We'll look at your tithing record. When was the last person you served? And he basically said that he believes that Christians are educated way beyond their obedience. And so he has no need whatsoever to educate Christians and go have deep theological and doctrinal and biblical sermons, because they're already educated beyond their obedience anyways. You start obeying more, and maybe he'll go a little deeper in the Scripture, is basically what he said. Another incident was at the 2014 Christmas, New Spring Christmas. He literally made the claim that the Ten Commandments were not commandments; they were promises given by God, and tried to basically rework them so they were no longer commandments, despite the fact that Jesus and others in the New Testament call them the Ten Commandments. You know, he claimed that they were not actually commandments; they were promises. He ended up later; he got so much heat from that gaffe, he ended up publicly apologizing and retracting and rescinding his teaching and his statements. And so these are examples where Perry Noble has demonstrated, you know, long before this problem came about, that he was not qualified to be a pastor. And you think of it this way, you know, morally, yeah, he's hurt himself. And morally, he's actually now hurt a lot of people because of the character flaws that he's had. But here's the question. How many hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, have been harmed by his false doctrine, by his false teaching, by his abusing of Christ's sheep? And, you know, that's the bigger number, if you ask me. And so I'm glad that New Spring has done the right thing in removing him for this sin. The problem is that not only does he need to check himself into rehab, he probably, if he wants to continue in ministry, check himself into a seminary.
Let's hear from Shane Duffy again. What is he going to be bringing us now?
Okay, Shane Duffy's going to be reading an actual statement written by Perry Noble. And I think it's fascinating to note the reason why Perry Noble gives as far as the stress in his life, which, in his opinion, caused him to begin to seek solace not in Christ but in alcohol.
Let me now share with you a statement that Perry wanted me to read for all of you to hear. Again, I'm just going to read this to you so I'll make sure I don't miss anything. But listen to the words from Perry. He says this, "Hello, New Spring. I hope you all had an amazing week, and I know the service today is going to be awesome. However, I come to you with a heavy heart to let you know that effective Friday, July 1st, I will no longer be the senior pastor of New Spring Church. I wish this were a joke, a part of a sermon illustration. However, it's true. I've often told you that New Spring exists to help hurting, imperfect people. I've joked that you should not attend New Spring if you're already perfect, because I will mess you up. That was my way of telling you that I'm traveling on a journey each day alongside each one of you to try to take my next step to become more like Jesus. If you have attended New Spring for any length of time, you know I've never claimed to be the perfect pastor or even more, the perfect Christian. What we've seen the Lord do over the last 16 years has been a modern-day miracle. However, in my obsession to do everything possible to reach 100,000 and beyond, it has come at a personal cost in my own life and created a strain on my marriage. In my opinion, the Bible does not prohibit the use of alcohol, but it does prohibit drunkenness and intoxication. I've never had a problem drinking alcohol socially, but in the past year or so, I've allowed myself to slide into, in my opinion, the overuse of alcohol. This was a spiritual and moral mistake on my part as I began to depend on alcohol for my refuge instead of Jesus and others. I have no excuse. This was wrong and sinful, and I'm truly sorry."
Chris, there's some stuff in there that should be commended, and there's some stuff in there that's just plain weird.
Yeah, I know, and that's kind of the way it is with New Spring. I mean, they say some things that are true, and then they say some stuff that's really off the wall. I would note the fact that Perry Noble said, "In order for me to continue in ministry, I need to address this." I think that makes it very clear what his intentions are, that, you know, he intends to fix this problem in his life, take the next steps that are necessary to become more like Jesus. And I think we should assume at this point that we will see Perry Noble reemerge sometime in the future. I think that's very clear. But there's a little bit of code talk that you have to understand, and that is that Perry Noble is a vision casting leader. Perry Noble claims, and has claimed for a very long time publicly, that he received a direct revelation, a vision from Jesus, to do church for the unchurched in South Carolina, and that Jesus gave him a very specific number to shoot for, and that is 100,000 people and beyond within South Carolina. Okay, that's so. This is part of what's going on here that sounds weird. And if you're thinking, well, the church itself, the church Catholic, small c, has a commission from Christ to make disciples of all nations, well, Perry Noble thinks that New Spring has a special, super special vision from God that they, as an individual congregation, or I should say a multi-site congregation, are specifically tasked by Christ to reach 100,000 regular attendees on any given Sunday. And he says that his obsession in fulfilling this vision has come to him at a personal cost, which caused him to take solace in alcohol rather than Jesus. That's where the weird part gets. Part of this also is that, hey, listen, no matter what stress you're under, nothing justifies making a sinful decision, and blaming the stress that you're under is a little bit weird, but ultimately, because he is claiming that he has a direct revelation from God, this vision for reaching 100,000, the obsession with fulfilling that came at a personal cost. I'm going to basically say this. He, in a very real way, is actually blaming Jesus for him becoming an alcoholic.
So he's saying, you know, I had this vision from Jesus, and I was given this Holy Spirit obsession with fulfilling it, and that's what led to my abuse of alcohol and the other problems in my life. I care too much. I cared too much about the vision Jesus gave me. And that's what, that, while he does admit he's done wrong, that sounds like an asterisk on his apology to the congregation.
Yeah, it's more than an asterisk. It's akin to what we heard Adam say to the Lord in the garden. When he asks, what is this thing you've done? And he says, the woman you gave me, God, she gave me the fruit and I ate. It's very much akin to that kind of confession, because ultimately, by saying it that way, Adam wasn't taking responsibility for what he did, although he admitted that he had done something wrong. He was basically laying the blame on the Lord. You gave me this woman, she deceived me, I ate. Here's how this is working now with Perry Noble. God, you gave me this vision. I was obsessed with fulfilling it. It came at a personal cost. My marriage is on the rocks, and I'm now an alcoholic. I've truly screwed up. You see what I'm saying? It's a little bit more than an asterisk. In a very real sense, Perry's actually blaming God for the strain that he was put under, for the vision that he claims came from God.
I've seen this with prominent spiritual leaders Chris, any of us could fall into these kinds of sins. We need to just make that absolutely clear. Any of us are susceptible to these kinds of sins. None of us are exempt or immune to that temptation. But I've heard from spiritual leaders who have fallen into some kind of sin, disqualifying themselves from the ministry, kind of play the victim. I did it to myself, but I'm the victim of my own actions. And, you know, feel sorry for me a little bit because I cared too much, or look at what a rotten sinner I was, and I did this to myself. I hear those overtones in Perry Noble's statement there.
Yeah, this is an unfortunate thing. I mean, you think of several, major leaders who've fallen, over the past, few years. There have been those types of undertones. And the problem is that it's a pious-sounding shift in blame. And that's the problem. My problem is I cared too much about the vision that Jesus gave me. And no. Your problem is you're a sinner. Your problem is that you are by nature sinful and unclean. You have tested positive for sin, and your sin has now manifested itself in this behavior. You are to blame and nobody else. That's what we're not hearing. You think about the difference between the confession of sin that King Saul gave as opposed to the confession of sin that King David gave. When Saul was confronted with his sin, he basically said, yeah, but these people, you know how they are, and he blamed other people. David, when confronted with his sin, he writes the 51st Psalm, and he says, against you and you only, Lord, have I sinned. And see, there's the difference. And in Perry Noble's confession, I'm hearing a lot of pious blame shifting rather than against you and you only, Lord, have I sinned. And that's where the real problem is.
We hear again from Shane Duffy of New Spring Church. What is he going to be bringing us?
This is a shorter soundbite, and I want you to listen. Then is that Shane Duffy? The thing that is really the problem here, the vision that Perry Noble claims that he had from God to reach 100,000 more, 100,000 and beyond, they have picked this up. And so now in a post-Perry Noble New Spring Church, the vision is now picked back up, despite the fact this is not from Christ. I think it's fascinating.
I just wanted to remind us all that God is never surprised by anything. As a matter of fact, in ways that many of us will never understand, this moment in the life of our church is part of His plan for New Spring Church. And it's part of His plan for the life and ministry and family of Perry Noble. New Spring Church was founded on a vision that is from Jesus, through Jesus, and to Jesus. And so it's for God's glory that we will continue to work together to reach our state with the good news of who Jesus is. Because it's only through that good news that anybody's life could be changed.
Chris, did I just hear Shane Duffy say that Perry Noble's alcoholism was part of Jesus' plan for New Spring?
Yeah, no, the theology on this is absolutely abysmal, and it kind of works from the idea, well, nothing is a surprise to God, therefore, this must have been part of God's plan all along. No, God doesn't tempt us to sin or anything like that. God, Christ does take our crooked paths and make them straight. He does cause all things to work together for good for those who love Him, but this was not ever part of His plan. And again, the thing that is the hot potato, the piece of evil that they should leave on the ground and realize is nowhere taught in Scripture and is extremely dangerous, the so-called vision from God that Perry Noble had, he's made it very clear that they've picked this thing up and they're going to continue down the football field with this thing in order to fulfill the vision and, you know, that they believe came from Jesus, is through Jesus, and is for Jesus. And it just doesn't bode well for the future of New Spring, is the best way I can put it.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest when we come back. We're going to talk about, I think what he's highlighted there is something that's very sobering. If you claim to be following a vision from Jesus, and it isn't from Jesus, but in fact from someplace else, it has dire consequences in the church. We'll be right back.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida. St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia. And Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
I'll never know what it's like to be with my father. I can't celebrate Father's Day. When I walk down the aisle, I'm not going to have a father on my arm.
Look, Martin Luther King Jr. in the Civil Rights Movement was all about bringing the faith into the public square.
These were things that were affirmed by this convention from a conservative rationale.
If you could imagine being a nurse or a doctor without any medicine, I mean, that would be incredibly difficult. The nurse walks in and sees a problem, and they've got to somehow, of their own resources, make the person feel better. That's an impossible sort of task.
Just a taste of the four sound bites we're going to play for you here in about 10 minutes on Issues Etc. when we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough. We're talking about megachurch Pastor Perry Noble's removal. A couple of questions here, just kind of housekeeping questions. First of all, has he actually been removed? Is that clear to you?
He's been removed as the senior pastor, and they have publicly made it clear that they are seeking a new senior pastor. However, that being the case, Perry Noble has made it clear that his intention is to continue on in ministry, and he's made a subsequent public statement to the effect of that he is checking into rehab, but New Spring is still his church, so he intends to stick around. So in the seeker-driven world, somebody doesn't have to be the senior pastor in order to be the teaching pastor. So he may still have a role at New Spring in the future. One thing's for sure, he won't be assuming that role, if there is one, until a later date.
I wanted to talk about an aspect of this vision casting that you and I, as often as we've talked about it, haven't really discussed. And that is, look, these visions are coming from one place or the other. They're either genuinely coming from God, or they're coming from our imagination, or perhaps, I guess we could add a third option, they might in fact be coming from the devil himself, these yep. visions that pastors claim to have cast for their congregations. I would think that even they would agree that that's a possibility. Why no caution about this? Why people who are into vision casting just seem to accept without any kind of caution that the vision the pastor says he had came from Christ? Because they know full well that if they actually follow a false vision, don't they? They know full well that if they follow a false vision, it's going to have these kind of consequences yeah. in their church.
Yeah. First of all, there's a secondary kind of false doctrine that goes along with the hearing the voice of God theology, and that is that they believe that God's going to give you some dream destiny thing, and I know we've talked about that. And one of the ways in which these guys who purvey in this false doctrine is that they say that you know it has to be from God if it's ridiculously crazy and there's no way for you to fulfill this vision in the natural. And so, you know, they'll say, this is a sure sign, this has got to be from God because it's too ridiculous, too crazy, and you're the wrong person for something like that anyway. And so, well, let's take a look at the vision here. The vision for New Spring is to reach 100,000 people in the state of South Carolina. Well, that's beyond any one man's ability. And Perry Noble, least qualified to be doing it. And so according to what their teaching is on this, therefore it must be from God. That's literally how they think, you know, and this is what they over and again teach. If it's too much for you to be able to accomplish and you seem like you're not qualified to do it, that means it has to be from God. That's their way of knowing. And that's not biblically at all how we do things like that. The whole premise that this is based upon is false. But the other thing is that this runs against the Catholicity of the church. And I know as Lutherans we bristle at the word Catholic, but we really need this word back. And I need Catholic with a small c. And here's the idea, is we believe in one holy Catholic in Apostolic Church, one universal. That means that we have the same doctrine and the same mission until Christ returns. And so we as a church Catholic have been commissioned to make disciples of all nations. Now that applies to all of us. When somebody claims to have a unique vision and Jesus is saying, no, this individual congregation, they have a task for me to reach 100,000 people, that's no longer Catholic, that's sectarian. And what it ends up doing is basically, you know, creating a disunity within the body of Christ. It kind of runs along the lines of, well, the church I go to, my pastor didn't receive a vision from Jesus. He must not be as spiritual as this other pastor who did receive a specific vision. And see, I want to be part of what God's doing, you know, the new exciting thing, you know, to reach 100,000 people here in South Carolina. I'm not going to be part of those dead churches where God isn't even talking at all. And so what it does is it literally makes those churches who are faithfully fulfilling the Great Commission look like they're somehow doing something wrong and that they're not really in tune with what the Spirit is up to nowadays. And that is the type of disunity that is absolutely and specifically warned against in Scripture.
Chris, before we let you go, what's on tap tonight on Fighting for the Faith?
Tonight on Fighting for the Faith, we're going to be looking at the parable of the Good Samaritan and how to rightly understand that Jesus is the Good Samaritan. And by understanding that, we can properly understand the connection between faith and good works. Without that proper understanding, then the Good Samaritan becomes an all-law text.
You can hear Fighting for the Faith immediately after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and hosts the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, it's going to be time to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We're going to play four soundbites for you, 1, 2, 3, 4. All you have to do is listen. This is your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad. It goes to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week this week. We're going to play those four soundbites, and then you vote and you give us a call. Your reasons for voting for any particular soundbite are your own. We just want your vote and where you're listening and why you're voting for the soundbite you're voting for. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet with your vote at issuesetc or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week live this Friday afternoon, July the 15th, right after the break.
Does your confessional Lutheran nonprofit or church need a new website? Let WordSites help you for free. WordSites is a volunteer-led group of technology and marketing gurus who have come together to help their fellow Lutherans. With the support of an effective website, you can clearly proclaim Christ and Him crucified to the digital world that we live in. To submit your organization for consideration or to learn more, visit WordSites.org. WordSites, your confessional Lutheran website, reformed.
There's a new neighbor in town. The Lutheran Federal Credit Union is open and ready to serve members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Lutheran Federal Credit Union provides checking and savings accounts, home, car, and personal loans, on-demand mobile banking, 30,000 ATMs, and 5,000 in the co-op shared network. You'll find the modernized banking experience you need with excellent customer service and security you expect at LutheranFCU.org. LutheranFCU.org.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
At Concordia Evangelical Lutheran Church of Wilmington, Delaware, our mission is to serve our community by sharing Christian hope. We've been doing this since 1938 and joyfully continue to do so in the 21st century. If you're ever in the city that DuPont Chemical Corporation calls home, or is known by some as the credit card capital of the world, we hope you visit to receive Jesus through his word and sacrament. Otherwise, check us out on the web at ConcordiaWilmington.com.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love of the truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.